nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a good
one? There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to f*** this up.
God, Greg, what kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne Tha God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Nope, start it over. Hit reset. Let's go. Let's get it right. Set the tone for the morning, okay?
Good morning, USA!
Yo, 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 yo. Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday!
I always like Thursdays because I like anticipation.
I don't know why they feel like Friday. Do they feel like Friday already?
I like anticipation for a Friday.
I've been in a Theraflu haze for the past 48 hours. I've been drinking Theraflu every night before I go to bed.
Why?
Feel a little something coming on. I've been in and off. What's not in and off?
In and out.
In and out. On and off.
On and off.
On and off with planes.
In and out, on and off.
On and off in planes for the past few weeks.
I don't know if it's good to take Theraflu beforehand.
I love it. Theraflu makes me go right to sleep.
I would probably take a lot of vitamins.
Do that.
Some Golden Seal.
Golden Seal.
Echinacea.
Golden Seal was for when you used to have dirty urine and you used to want to freaking clean it before you go see your PO.
I would probably do all of that.
People take Golden Seal for other reasons?
Yeah.
What else is Golden Seal good for other than cleaning your urine?
To prevent you from getting sick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've only ever used Golden Seal. Golden Seal and Cat's Claw to clean my urine when I was on probation.
Well, I never use it for that reason. I never had to give a urine sample for any reason other than when I go to the doctor.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had
You need to grow up and commit some crimes.
I've never been arrested.
Grow up and get some probation.
I've never had handcuffs on that weren't furry.
Whoa, drop one of Clues Bombs for Angela Yee's freaky ass. All right. Okay, speaking of getting handcuffed and shooting up clubs, Envy's on baby watch, right?
Oh, his baby's coming today?
I didn't say that. I just said he's on baby watch. Woo! It wasn't supposed to be here soon?
I was like, let me check my text messages. His baby is due any day. I think like in 10 days or something like that. But they're feeling like the baby's coming early. So this is baby number 5. They're very experienced with having kids.
So the baby done dropped, basically.
This is going to be, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. They're baby-making experts, so.
Yeah, if you got 5 kids, you know, it's kind of like having to pee. You know when it's time to go.
Yeah, she knows the baby is probably going to come early, which brings me to front page news. And by the way, I had a great night last night. I had some Hennessy punch instead of rum punch, Hennessy punch, at one of my favorite places, Footprints, with the Rasta Pasta. That's what they're famous for. So I was at Coney Island in Brooklyn. And they have a lot of rides. It's a small amusement park.
You went to an amusement park at night?
Well, it's in Coney Island. Coney Island's a neighborhood.
I know.
The theme park is there also, in that neighborhood.
Oh.
So it's across the street from, you can see the park from the restaurant, but it was really nice. Had a great time. So shout out to everybody that I was out with last night.
So you drank Henny Punch and went to an amusement park?
Yes, basically.
Probation sounds like way more fun.
It was a beautiful night. But, we are going to talk, since we're talking about Envy and we were talking about babies, let's talk about fertility rates in America. The numbers are astonishing, all right? They're talking about how many babies are being born. You think it's less or more than it's been in the past?
Also, probably less.
Trump Tower. Somebody was climbing Trump Tower. That was a big story yesterday. Somebody actually came up to me at Footprints and said, make sure this guy gets Donkey of the Day tomorrow for climbing the Trump Tower.
Yeah, Donald Trump paid that guy. It was a publicity stunt. But we'll talk about it. And Snoop Dogg will be here this morning. Drop on a Clues Bomb for Snoop,
damn it. Snoop Dogg!
Okay.
Now, that guy definitely has dirty urine.
Absolutely. But luckily, he has a job where he doesn't have to get piss tests.
All right.
Let's start the show. It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. This is my friend!
That's true.
Oh, my God! It's him!
It's the guy in the flesh. Stand up.
This is Drake. It's The Breakfast Club.
Special to me.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that was Drake. Salute to Drake. Enemy of my enemy is my friend, and don't you forget it, okay?
F all that. Let's do it right. Baby is here!
You had a baby already?
That's right. The baby was born.
And you came to work?
I mean, anybody that knows, if you have a child, after the baby's born, you really have to let the baby bake for a little bit. Have to let the baby take a bath, so you can't really see the baby for 4 hours, and the mom is out of it. So instead of stay at the hospital with nothing to do, I figure I'd come and fool around with you guys.
What you better do is clean up that champagne you just spilled like you own this building before it leaks on one of the damn board or something.
That's all right. We drinking today. So,
okay, how long did it take? How long was...
The labor was 4 hours.
I just spoke to you yesterday. She wasn't even... That's crazy.
It was 2 pushes. Baby came right out. 6 pounds, 15 ounces.
Why didn't you have her stand up and deliver the baby like Brother Polite said?
I passed on that. I thought about that for a second.
Do it the right way.
I said, babe, why don't you have it at home? Brother Polite said we should have this baby at home. You should be squatting.
But yeah, tell her, try something new. This is the fifth one.
Gia is a G. Congratulations to her, man. Two pushes.
That's 2 pushes. Baby came out. No problem.
You still ain't clean up that damn champagne.
Nah, it's all good. We celebrate.
Well, congratulations. Okay. Baby Brooklyn is here.
Brooklyn Jagger Casey is here. Shout out to the whole hospital staff. This was the first time they... I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I actually delivered the baby. I pulled the baby out and everything.
Why can't you say that?
Because you're not supposed to.
Why?
You're not supposed to deliver the baby. Pull
it's
the baby,
baby
out the vagina.
Oh, I thought you could do that.
No.
Oh, I see people do that all the time.
No. I was able to do it. I didn't know the baby was so slippery.
Did you Snapchat it?
I didn't Snapchat it.
Wow.
I didn't Snapchat it.
Did you see Gia poo for the first time?
Gia didn't poo. I looked. She didn't poo. But the baby was dumb slippery, like slippery, like whoa, like that type of slippery.
That's incredible. Well, that is a beautiful
You just told
thing.
The world that your wife's vagina is super wet, bro. I just want you to know that.
That's
the
all
baby
right.
is
They'll
slippery.
Never get it. Yeah.
Well, that's great news.
The baby is
did
born.
Did she get an epidural?
Hell yes. She wasn't playing. As soon as she got to the hospital, she's like, epidural now. And it was like, ma'am,
no,
we have to check you in.
Wale had a whole conversation with me about epidurals because he just had his first baby.
Oh, she didn't have epidural?
She didn't have one.
Oh,
and
she's
he was
real.
Saying that he doesn't think that, he was like, it's fine if you get it. He understands. But he was saying how when you get an epidural, sometimes the baby comes out sleepy and.
Not.
That's the same thing Brother Polite was talking about.
I mean, they say that, but I had 5 children. None of them came out sleepy. They all came out right. Crying or happy, or this one was chewing her fingers last night. No problems. Baby was happy. They baked her. Well, they didn't bake it. They have to keep the heat on her for a little bit.
Yeah, stop saying they
they have to keep the heat on
baby.
Her. Then they washed the baby. Everything was good, man. A healthy baby. I'm very happy. This is baby number 5. This
Yay.
Is my last baby.
You say that every year.
Nah, this is really my last baby.
You say that every year, too.
Nah, this is good. This is really...
Are you getting a vasectomy?
Yeah,
Because Slim Thug has a vasectomy.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
It's
what?
Reversible.
Why?
What you
why?
Mean, why? Because I don't want to
Clearly, Evie has very strong sperm.
I got 5.
Well,
I don't want to
step your pull-out game up.
He's not going to do that.
Do you like pulling out?
Why am I going to pull out my wife for?
Exactly.
Let's be clear. My wife's on birth control, so no.
But why not get a vasectomy? Then she don't have to be
why?
On birth control.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
Well, Evie might get a vasectomy.
I don't want anymore. I'm good at 5.
Are you going to have a vasectomy?
I don't know. I don't want them clipping anything, but I might have to, just in case.
That V-Live veteran on your hat, is that vasectomy live?
Vasectomy live. Well, do we have time for front page news? I will do it when we come back. And also, tell them why you're mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. And the craziest thing is the nurse that helps in the hospital, she helped for the last 3 kids. She was like, I have seen you again. Am I going to see you next year? I'm like, no, this is it. This is my last step at the
Let's
hospital.
Let's make a prediction right now.
Well, you should know her name. It's a damn shame you don't know her name. She helped with the
it's
last
Jessica.
3 kids.
Her name is Jessica from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Good.
I know her name.
Jesus Christ.
Shout
you said the
Jessica.
Nurse.
Random I didn't want to say her name and throwing stuff out there, but shout out to Jessica.
Deliver your last 3 kids. She at least deserve a salute.
And she almost delivered Pro Style's baby, but Pro Style's baby wasn't ready at the time. Pro Style.
He wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready.
First of all, Dominican babies don't need no help coming out. They deliver themselves, by the way.
Is Pro Style Dominican or Puerto Rican?
Dominican babies break their own water. They push their own way out. They cut their own umbilical cord.
All that. All right. Front page
Ask
news
Ask the
when
mother
come
if
back.
They all right when they come out.
Ask the mom. You good? 800-585-1051. Tell them why you're mad. Also, we'll do front page news. Don't go anywhere. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news.
Front page news.
Let's talk about fertility, Envy, since you just had your 5th child.
My last child. 5th and last child.
No, you got to keep having it because you know what? There's fewer than 6 babies per 100 women being born each year. Fertility rates have dropped to the lowest level ever in America.
That's right.
A lot of women are delaying pregnancy.
People stepping up their pull-out game.
Now, they said teenage births are down, but 30 to 44-year-old pregnancies are on the up. And that's what it is. So,
you know, I didn't know it was. It's very difficult for a lot of women out there to have children. I didn't know it was that difficult. But a lot of women have a lot of problems having babies, you know, they go through in vitro, which is very expensive. And some people just don't, it's very difficult.
I've never tried to have a baby. I've always tried not to get pregnant. So.
I mean, that's the other thing, too. People having a lot of recreational sex. They're having a lot of sex for fun instead of having sex for what you're supposed to have sex for, which is procreating.
Right.
So you got all these birth control pills and you got all these condoms. You got people pulling out.
Also, I think women are just, like they said, having babies later on in life.
So what about you? When you had this baby, now you got your crib, you got your businesses, you got your investments, you got a great job. When we gonna have this baby? Not me and you, but when you gonna have this baby?
I was like,
that's weird. When you gonna have this baby?
Maybe next year.
Okay.
But ain't the older you are, next like year. It's more pressure on your spine?
I don't know about the more pressure on your
true.
Spine.
That's true. That's a fact. Yes, it is.
Well, just so you guys know, I did go to the doctor and get my fertility checked out just to make sure, and they said I'm fine. Everything is normal. So if I want to have a baby, I shouldn't have any issues.
Any candidates?
My boyfriend would be the number one candidate.
He'd be the number one candidate.
That's an invite to shoot the club up if I never heard of one.
Yeah, that's it.
I said next year.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Angelique's boyfriend.
But think about it. If you do it now, you had a baby next year.
Hey, brother. That is it. Listen, wait till
this is some more Hennessy I got to drink this year. And then right after that, I just got to get it all out.
You can do it right at the iHeartRadio Music Festival, and the baby will be born in June.
You got to wait till it's cuffing season. Wait till it's cuffing season when it gets nice and cold. That's a good time to slip the condom off. The vagina's warm.
I'm not going to lie. One thing you think about is when do you want to be pregnant? Nobody wants to really, like, I don't want to be pregnant in the summer.
That's
hot,
why you do
sweaty.
It during the iHeartRadio Music
if
Festival.
I had to choose.
You have your baby in June. I had mine, I had two during the iHeartRadio Music
Festival.
I mean,
you've had a baby every single whenever. There's no certain season.
I guess you're right.
Whoever Angelique's boyfriend is just got an invitation to shoot the club up. So I hope he cashes in that rain check.
Well, I'm sure he's been doing it anyway.
I'm a very careful person. Mm. Let's just say that.
In an Olympic update, basketball, the U.S. barely beat Australia 98-88. What the hell happened?
They was at the brothel all damn night. You sure that ain't the women's team? That was the men's team?
That was the men's team. Goodness gracious. All right, now the top three medal count, the USA has 32 medals, China 23, Japan 18. And RIP to ESPN broadcaster John Saunders, he passed away at the age of 61, so rest in peace to him.
I was trying to figure out all day yesterday who he was.
Did you know his picture?
Yeah, I know the face. I just did not know his name was John. I had no idea.
Well, rest in peace, John.
Rest in peace, John.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him why you're mad, though. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, yo, good morning, yo. This is the Mad Rapper, son, for real.
I'm mad. I stay angry. I stay heated. I stay pissed off.
Tell him why you mad. Breakfast Club, let's go.
Hey, this is AT from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hey, tell him why you mad.
I was up at HOC locked up. Once I got out, all the females I was talking to all got new men.
As they should. How long you was down for, bro?
Just like 4 months, though, but damn, you know what I'm saying?
The problem is that you didn't have just one female to concentrate on, so you were spreading your time between them, and they all had too much time to talk to other people. So, of course, they all got new men.
Ain't nobody
now,
if
you had had one girlfriend that you concentrated on...
I went through the phase where I was calling my ex, though, you know what I'm saying? So I guess I f***ed up right there, too, though.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it's your fault.
Nobody waiting on no jailbird, bro.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Dr. Ngozi. An epidural does not make the baby sleepy. It's the drugs that we give prior to the epidural. Typically, you're given pain medication, and that's what makes the baby sleepy until you decide to get the epidural.
The moral of the story is y'all give the mama drugs that make the baby sleep.
Sleepy, eyes closed.
Y'all doping the babies up as soon as they get
in. Listen, and they said no judgment. I don't know. I'm just telling you what he said to me.
Well, I'm just simply correcting you that the epidural does not make the baby sleepy.
And all five kids of mine haven't been sleepy. They came out eyes wide open, crying. Nah, no problems at all.
I'm an OBGYN in Columbus, and I just wanted to clarify that.
How many vaginas you see a day?
I see quite a few.
So can you get an epidural without taking the drugs?
Yes, you can. If you ask for the epidural early and you don't take the pain medication, yes, you can. You won't
feel... So what exactly is an epidural?
An epidural is a medication that we put through the epidural space behind your back, and that helps numb some of the nerves so that you don't feel the pain.
Yeah, my wife never got drugs. She always gets the epidural. The only problem we had one time was... It only did one side of her body. So she could feel that one side, so they had to come adjust the epidural. But other than that, with no problems, it was good money.
Right. So I just want to say congratulations, and I just want to clarify things that epidurals are good if given at appropriate time to not the epidural that makes the baby sleepy.
Now, is it a good idea? Because I've had friends who have babies, and they try not to get an epidural. They're like, I don't want to unless I have to.
You know, people try to do natural. If you, I mean, I had an epidural for all three of my babies. Mm-hmm. The babies won't know whether you had it natural or not. All they need is your love. If you want to go ahead and do it without an epidural, go for it. Personally, I had an epidural.
Okay.
There's no need for me to feel pain.
Go for Breeze your office, okay?
You're so funny. Anyhow, I just wanted to clarify it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm getting ready to go see more vaginas.
There you go. And thank you to Dr. Collado, because that's the my wife's old, what is it?
OBGYN.
There you go. That's the vagina doctor. Make sure the vagina doctor. Is good.
Stop it.
Money. Thank you, Dr. Collado and Jessica again, all right? Now, when we come back, we got some rumors for the people, Yee.
Yes, we are going to be talking about a new venture that Gabrielle Union is starting that I'm very excited about. When I actually saw her in Miami, she talked to me about it, and I guess it's coming into fruition. And we had A$AP Rocky up here recently, and we did ask him about dating someone. Well, it turns out the rumors are true. We'll tell you what famous family he might be joining soon.
We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. And don't forget, Snoop Dogg will be joining us
Snoop
in a little
Dogg.
Bit. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
Gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Gabrielle Union is going to be opening a sneaker store dedicated to women. And that's for women who love very fancy footwear. Now, according to her partner and friend, Faith Rain Haslam. They're going to open this door up together. It's for women who are serious shoe fans, but they also are very fashionable. Now, the store is going to be open in Miami. That's going to be the flagship store. And right now, it's tentatively called Borrowed from the Boys.
Do women like sneakers like that?
Yes, that's an amazing idea. Women love sneakers, and they definitely don't like waiting on lines for exclusive sneakers and sneakers on the days that sneakers drop. That is an amazing idea.
And
I love
sneaker collaborations. Like when Reebok does the collaborations with Melody Ehsani. I like the Alexander McQueen collaborations with Puma.
Not only that, the Jordans, the Adidas Boost. Like, oh, that's a great
idea.
She
don't sound like she's going to have Jordans and Adidas Boost.
She got everything.
She definitely will.
All types of exclusives.
It's like a women's sneaker head store.
Oh. That is dope. That's an amazing idea. I've never heard of that. I ran into
Gabrielle
like
Union when I was in Miami, and she was telling me, she was like, you like sneakers, right? You kind of, and I was like, yeah, I love sneakers. She said, okay, good. I'm opening a sneaker store.
We should do it with her in New York. You should call her. We should do one in New York.
Whoa, okay.
All right, sorry.
Anyway.
That's a great idea.
Now, we had A$AP Rocky up here recently. He was talking about his remarks that had people in a tizzy. They had put out this old interview he did. But another thing that was buzzing at that time was that he is dating Kendall Jenner. Now, they were just photographed out together a couple of times. But here's what he had to say when he was here on The Breakfast Club. There was a picture of you and, say, Kendall Jenner. And I know people would be like, oh, my God, I
you
can't
smash Kendall Jenner, bro?
He's no, it was stupid, just a picture man. Of them out together. But I'm saying, you know how people are. They go crazy. And they're like, oh, my God, now he's dating Kendall Jenner. And
I used to date Iggy, like, probably, right. Like,
and Iggy is
don't bring that up right now. Don't remind people of that.
Yeah, right.
Right now.
Yeah, but nah, real talk, though, I don't care about that. You know what I mean? I think interracial dating is dope. I don't really care about, like, color.
It was early on then, but now they're saying it's official and that both of them are very major players in the fashion industry. And they've been hanging out, so maybe A$AP Rocky's going to be the latest person on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Who knows?
Drop one of Clues Bombs for A$AP Rocky. There's nothing wrong with smashing the Kardashian, Jenna. That's what they're good for.
Wow.
I wouldn't say that's what they're good for.
Why not?
Kendall Jenner's a legit model.
She's a model.
She's working out here.
Okay, she's still good for smashing. Jesus Christ. That's a good notch under your belt to be able to say you smashed Kylie Jenner.
For A$AP Rocky,
Kendall
that's a,
Jenner,
yeah, that's
first a, of all.
Oh, whatever. Kylie and Kendall, both of them. Either one.
Smash them both.
It don't
kids.
Matter. It's one of them. As long as they, well, you can come up off Caitlyn, too.
What about Rob?
No, nobody's
coming Rob.
No.
All right.
No.
Fast and Furious 8. We've been telling you about this tension between The Rock and Vin Diesel. And the word yesterday was they actually sat down and had to hash it out because tension was so high while they were filming. Well, production sources have told TMZ that The Rock has been upset with Vin Diesel. And his work ethic just isn't that great. He's often late to set. He actually pushed back filming from 7 a.m. calls for production to 10 a.m. because he just doesn't like getting up early.
Me neither.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, right?
And they said that Vin Diesel was very arrogant. It was out of control. He's a producer, and he wouldn't listen to anybody. And he would often criticize everybody's acting on set. So the crew actually allegedly loves The Rock. They said he's been the ultimate professional, but Vin Diesel is the one that's been difficult.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the eighth movie, man. You know what I'm saying? You're dealing with a bunch of older people on the eighth movie of a multi-billion dollar franchise. You're going to have a little ego. You just got to know how to deal with it.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
The Rock and Vin Diesel? That's two superstars. Like, who budges? Hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also feel like sometimes when you're on set, you got to compromise. And if everybody is having an
issue. They do too many movies with each other. They have to bump heads once.
But if everybody on set is having an issue and just not saying anything about it, somebody got to say something.
Yeah, but then also the issue could be that Vin Diesel's a producer and the rest of them not, too.
That's true,
think about that. You know what I'm saying? You started off with all this talent, and now this guy's the producer on the movie.
Telling me what to do.
You know what I mean? Come on. People don't want to play their position sometimes.
All right. Well. That was the rumors. When we come back, Snoop Dogg will be joining us. We'll kick it with Snoop Dogg. Of course, he's on tour with Wiz Khalifa. He has a new project out. And Snoop is just Snoop, all right? When we come back, keep it locked. And I just want to say this. Snoop is the only artist that ever came up here that I believe smoked, right? We'll talk to him about that, too.
I don't know that he was supposed to, so maybe we shouldn't just keep saying
it. All right. Anyway, it's The Breakfast Club.
Video.
It is?
Yeah. Oh, he smoked
No, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was One Dance Drake. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest, and this is the only guest in Breakfast Club history that has ever smoked up here.
And you're not going to tell Snoop Dogg
when he
lights up.
We sure didn't.
Did we get in trouble for that?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, Snoop Dogg!
Hey! we just had a healthy debate with Drama. Is Snoop the most famous rapper in the world? I said yes.
Globally. He said no matter where you go in this world, no matter who it is, race, age,
everybody knows Snoop Dogg.
I said it was between you and Hov.
He said you are the biggest brand.
Mm. I don't know. It's like an out-of-body experience for me. It's hard for me to say because I live with me every day. So I don't know who the biggest rapper is globally, but I do know that when I do go certain places, like, it's hard to try to, like, camouflage, disguise, whatever. Even baby girl at the front desk, I just gave her another picture. What's her name?
Miss Anita.
Miss Anita.
That's my baby.
Miss Anita.
That's my baby. Yeah,
but have you ever
gone anywhere? She smoked too, so slip her a little something.
That's
when
my
you're
baby. She got that. I give her a nip. Yeah. I give her a nip.
When's the last time you've been somewhere and haven't been recognized? Has that happened? See, it doesn't happen.
On some real talk, I'm being honest with you. I don't even remember the last time it's been like that. I done been to grocery stores, churches, underwater.
Underwater.
I didn't even look. This the crazy.
Like,
this is the crazy part. I done been and done some, homeless work where you go down there and feed the homeless, and the homeless be like, "Snoop Dogg, what's happening, dog?" I'm like, "Man, how do you know me? You ain't got no TV. You ain't got no what to say." So I don't know. I can't figure it out.
The illest thing about your brand and your image is that you always you. You smoke your weed, you rep your gang, and it still transcends all races. Brands still won't be in business with you.
Right.
It's fun. Charlamagne, what I represent is fun. I had to come to realize that everything I do in life is based on fun. And when people get out with me, they know that they buying fun or that they being a part of fun. So that's what it's all about. I learned to live for the right reasons. Stop being so mad and having that negative energy. Even if people did me wrong, I learned to forgive and forget.
See, forgiveness. There we go again.
It's hard for me. I'm dealing with that one.
I can show you. It's a hard thing to do, but at the same time, it makes you feel better when you forgive and you move forward and your life is right and you're not worrying about what they're doing. You're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I was listening to Nori's Drinks Champs podcast.
Oh, that was a great one.
Yeah, salute to Nori. And I was surprised you said you and Shug Knight are like cool now.
Real cool.
Really?
Yeah, we had a long 3-4 hour conversation once upon a time where I met with him.
That is some forgiveness.
And that's some forgiveness.
No, because he was trying to kill you at one point.
Yeah, he was. And the thing was, when I seen him, I was like kind of slipping. I was like, doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing. And he slid up behind me. And instead of me reacting the wrong way, I just went into my regular mode. Like, I'm going to lay whoop up to the side with me. You can go upstairs and meet. And we went upstairs and chopped it up for like 3-4 hours and got caught up on some real love. Because it wasn't never that he hated me. I just think he was just disappointed that he couldn't control me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you got a record label, when you got artists, and I've done this before, you really want control of that artist. But some artists deserve their own control and their own lane, and you got to give it to them.
He had to try to kill you, though.
I'm from the West Coast. It comes with the rules and regulations of the game. I knew the job was dangerous when I took it.
No, it was serious. For everybody out there, like Snoop had security guards. Like to meet Snoop back in the day, this might have been like 15 years ago. It was a vetting process.
As
like,
it should
you
be.
You had to go through. It was scary.
Especially after Pac and Big just got killed.
It was scary. To forgive him, if Snoop could forgive Suge, I think I might be able to forgive anybody.
Yeah, but you got to learn how to love yourself first. You know what I'm saying? And if you're a loving person, you can't go around hating people, because then that's not love.
Right.
So it was like, how could I hate him, especially that he down now? You know, this would be the perfect time for me to kick him, because he all the way down. But, you know, this is the time for me to be there for him and be his friend, be love, because you never know when you're going to be down and out.
And you just have adjusted to this social media era so well. Like, it's a famous meme. But they got you with your head scarf on.
Oh, I look like somebody auntie. Hey, Charlamagne, I don't care, though. One thing about me.
You post it. You be posting it.
When people make fun of me, when they clown me, when they put me in a girl body with my head on it or with a rabbit suit on, I see it, I throw it up, and I like, who did this to me? And I go right in the joke. So I don't understand when people get offended when I do that to them, when I do it to myself. It's like, it's all fun and games.
As long as it's funny, it should be okay.
That's what it should be about. You know, when I got into the social media game, I didn't really understand it. Because I was like, I don't really want people in my business like that. But then I was like, damn, I'm the type of person that always go up to the fans. I always do this anyway, so I might as well just open up and, you know, let them be a part of my world every day.
You got some type of zen with you, man. Like, you had to have some therapy or something. Just always you've been this way?
You know what? I think I always had it in me. It just had to come out of me.
Yeah.
I've been able to talk to some of the greatest people in the world, from Muhammad Ali to Louis Farrakhan to Tookie Williams to Quincy Jones. I've been able to talk to some of the greats, James Brown, where I've been able to have long, in-depth conversations with them, and they said certain things to me that helped me find who I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's certain things about legendary people and people and their legacies. Once you meet somebody that's a legend and they tell you a legend, there's something about that you got to start patterning your game around them. Like, what I loved about Ali and some of these people that I named, that they were bigger outside of what they did than what they did.
Mm.
You know, I'm a great rapper, but you forgot about that right now because I'm doing so many other things. So that's what I want to be known for, all of the great things that I do outside of rapping.
That's what it feels like. It feels like rapping for you is just like a side hobby to just the Snoop brand.
It's a layup drill. You understand me? Or a dunk contest when I need to get involved. You know, when I see somebody out there doing some new dunks and I'm like, okay, well, let me see if they're ready for this move right here.
Yeah.
Now, you and Martha Stewart are teaming up.
What you know about that, Angela? You been reading the news?
Yes. I mean, I think that's crazy. A dinner party with Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, why is that crazy? They both been to jail. They both got arrested.
Why is that crazy? They got stuff to talk about.
I just can't imagine. It's just, I don't know.
But Martha is so, she's a beautiful person. Like, I see why all the homegirls in jail loved her, because she is such a beautiful spirit. She's down to earth. She's loving. And she understand the dynamics of having a good time. So me and her having, you know, this dinner party, you know, atmosphere is beautiful because you wouldn't expect what you would expect.
All right, we got more with Snoop when we come back. We'll find out why him and Game went to the police station that morning. And also, a Snoop mini mix. Keep it locked. Snoop's here. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Jeremiah with We. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Snoop Dogg is in the building. Now, we've seen a video of you and Game walking to the precinct in L.A. What was that all about? Explain that. And why did you guys have to, felt like you had to do it?
Well, the morning before it happened, Game had hit me, and he was like on 100. And he was hot, and I was hot. And we was just mad at all of the violence that was happening to these innocent people by the police. So, you know, I was ready to do whatever, so I was basically following his lead because I felt like it's a young man's game, and he's younger than me, and he's going to take the lead, and I'm going to follow this soldier. When he hit me back, I told him, I said, look, I don't want you to overreact. I want you to think about everything that you're going to do and put a real plan together and hit me when you get your plan together, and I'm with you. So then he went and made a call to Farrakhan for 3 hours and did all the things he had to do to prepare himself. Then he hit me back at about 3 a.m. was like, meet me here at 5 a.m. He didn't say nothing else. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on, so I got dressed to go to war.
Yeah, you look like you was ready to win.
He had on the chucks, the flannel.
Hold on, you didn't even say, let's think about this at all.
He just gave, when you get the back call, Charlamagne, you just show up. I wasn't going to be putting my shoes on, talking about, hold on, I'll be there. I was there. So when I get there, I'm fully loaded and ready to go, and I'm looking around, they passing out shirts and everybody on peace, and he got us all in the circle, and he said something that was so deep. He was like, you know what? I didn't even know what I was going to do when I came here. But now that I'm looking at the spirit of everything, this is what I want to do. And I want y'all to follow me on this. I want us to walk down to the precinct and reintroduce ourselves to the police department and let them reintroduce themselves to us so we can get some sort of dialogue going. And we listened to him. And we was like, man, that's kind of dope, because we never talk to the police unless it's too late. Mm-hmm. Let's get that understanding right now. So while we walking down there, police escorting us there, then when we get there, Come to find out, the new recruits are graduating right now, about to go hit the streets in a matter of 24 hours, and we standing outside. Mm. And the chief of police is there, and the mayor is there. So they hear that we outside marching peacefully with the Nation of Islam with us. So they send the word that the chief would love to meet with me, Game, and two other of our people with the mayor behind closed doors. So we went up there, talked with him, chopped it up, got some understanding, wasn't arguing, wasn't talking bad, wasn't, you know, downplaying. We was trying to get some understanding and some dialogue. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of meetings since then, and it's looking like it's going to be a great situation in L.A. with the police and the communities, because we sick and tired of talking after the fact when we could talk before the fact.
Right. This has been going on forever, especially in L.A. The first time that we ever saw real police violence was the Rodney King take.
But it's never been communication. And one thing about L.A., we have sheriffs and we have police department. The sheriff's department have minor incidents because they are sent to the county jail for 18 months as a part of their training before they hit the streets. Mm. The LAPD don't get no communication with the streets until they hit the streets. So there's a miscommunication off the jump. If you're scared, you never dealt with nobody from the hood, you don't know what he looked like, how he get out, you already got a different perception on him. But if you've been in the county jail, you've been around them, you know they lingo, they know you, it's a different perspective. When the sheriffs pull up, all the sheriffs want is dope and guns. If you ain't got no dope or no guns, they letting you go. They not going to shoot you. Well, they don't shoot you that much. Well, they not going to shoot you on GP.
Right.
The LAPD, they got a different agenda. So we was trying to get that understanding on, let's get some different protocols so they could be around these people in the community before they start policing this community.
Oh.
Did you learn how to de-escalate stuff, like, probably during, like, do you wish you had that same mentality during the whole East Coast, West Coast fiasco?
I think I did at the Source Awards. That was a perfect example of de-escalation, because Suge Knight had it escalated to, I seen people reaching for pistols, and I seen pistols in there. Was no police security. It was all hood security. It was New York versus Death Row Records at that point. And my conversation on that stage brought New York to a point to where they said, you know what? We're going to let y'all get out of here.
To us, that looked hostile.
Yeah.
It was very hostile, because it was me saying that I know where I'm at, but at the same time, y'all know this is gangster rap that we do. We don't just talk it, we live it. So if you really, really in the mix, this is what takes place in the mix. And at that time, Puffy wasn't with it like that. He was making his music. Mm-hmm. He wasn't with the, you know, I ain't with the rah-rah. I'm with the music. Suge was with the rah-rah. And it's like, you know, it was a fine line, because Puffy and them was my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm riding with Death Row. And at the same time, I'm in New York. So it's like, if I don't say the right words, we all gonna get killed.
Mm.
Damn. So why come back and kick the buildings over?
Because something happened. Because something happened that I ain't going to speak on. That we took that on the chin and said we'll just get it back on this side. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you involved into the art of war, certain losses you take, certain, you know, sacrifices you make, it come with the territory. And we knew where it came from. We knew who sent the shot. Mm-hmm. And we never had a problem with him. We allowed that to happen because we knew in the art of war, that's what happens. When you getting busy, you gotta take what you get. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we lived through it, we survived it, we forgave and we forgot, and we moved forward. The parties that was involved, we met behind closed doors, and we got to understand, yeah, cause I know you sent that at me. That was a good shot. You missed, though. I forgive you. We're going to move forward. I ain't going to send nothing at you when you're on my side.
Mm-hmm.
We gravy, we good.
Can you tell the story about Nas, man? That was the first time you met Nas, you said?
Yeah, the first time I met Nasty Nas, I was in Gardena on 35th, one of those streets.
And that's a Crip neighborhood.
Yeah, shotguns. And I was out there hanging tough with my homeboys, and a white van pulls up, and it got like about 15, 16 people in it. And all of a sudden, the door opened. Boom. Some dude jump out. His sweatpants is lifted up to his knee with some boots on.
Tim. And he got on red sweatshirt.
He got on all red. Running right towards me. So the homies is like, they finna draw down on him. I'm like, hold on, cuz, that's the rapper from New York. That's Nasty Nas, cuz. So he come over to me and he shake my hand. I'm like, cuz, it's a pleasure to meet you, but let me let you know. When you ever in L.A., don't ever jump out with no red or no blue on, because you don't know what neighborhood you in, loved one. Take my number down, so I'll holler at you next time you come to the city.
Crazy, because I tell you the time Nas pulled out a gun on me. I ran up on Nas like that.
What?
I ran up on Nas. I had a mixtapes in the bag. I ran up on him just like that. Yo, Nas, I got something for you. And I was going in my bag to pull it out.
Not a good
By
idea.
By the time I came out, he had
sounds
me.
Sketchy.
What you got for me? I said, it's a CD, my
I
CD.
I got something for me.
I got something.
What you got? Yeah, what you got for me?
Yeah, you used to roll like that at one point. Snoop used to have a briefcase.
Yeah, all that old stuff, that man. Hey, Charlamagne, I'm peace now. What I understood about about moving with the peace, when I had the gun, have gun problems, will travel. You know what I'm saying? They say have gun, will travel, have gun problems, will travel. When I removed the gun from my game, I had less issues because I was able to finesse and able to be more strategic with my conversation. When I had the gun with me, I was, you know, reckless because I had that thing and I thought that thing was the, you know, just like everybody else with right. one of them things. Their conversation is more reckless. When you ain't got one, you're more understanding, and that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be about peace as opposed to pushing violence.
All right, we got more with Snoop when we come back. Matter of fact, let's get into a Snoop mini mix. Let me know your favorite Snoop joint right now at DJ Envy on the gram or Twitter, or you can call us up 800-585-1051. Snoop's in the building. Shout to Snoop Dogg in the building. That was a little Snoop mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Snoop Dogg's in the building now. Charlamagne?
Now, you said you first smoked weed with your son, right?
My oldest son.
Your oldest son.
Yeah.
We did that question here on the Breakfast Club, I think. Would you smoke weed with your child to keep him from doing it in the street?
Yeah, because like I say, you know, what I'm going to give him is the righteous way. I don't know what y'all going to put in there. You may lace it. You know, it may be, I don't know. Because it happened to me before. I've been laced with some things, so I don't trust the game. So I would rather get him, you know, schooled for me personally on the understanding on what is and what not and what to do and what not to do.
I think they did that to you on purpose because they know you Snoop. And everybody want to outsmoke Snoop. So let me lace this blunt real quick just to say I outsmoke Snoop.
I don't
Snoop.
Even take blunts from people no more. You know, I used to be in the crowd. I used to be reckless, man. I'd be in the crowd and they hand me a blunt. I'd be like, oh, and then I start looking at these people like,
I'm cool.
I'm cool.
I'm going to tell you how you influenced me recently. We were having a cookout, and I was going to make some turkey franks.
Oh.
And then my friend was like, you got to see Snoop finding out what is in these hot dogs, and you're not going to eat that again. You know we threw the pack of franks out.
Give me some.
Tell us what's in the hot dogs and turkey franks.
No,
now.
It ain't. That's the same.
For real?
It's
really?
The same machine, man. It's nasty, man. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. You have to see it'll make you never eat it again. I'm telling you.
It's really? Horrible, man. I can't get out. I used to come in New York. My hotel got a hot dog man that stood right on the corner. Me and Cub been cool for 20 years. I don't even look at him no more. I just walk right past him. Like he like, Snoop, my hot dogs are waiting for you. No, like, I'm no good, cuz. I seen what y'all doing. I'm cool on you.
DMX was here a few weeks ago. He ate four of them.
I saw that.
No, he did. He threw up immediately.
No, he did.
Four of them right on the corner. He was drunk. He ate four and threw up immediately.
But they gave him a whole bottle. He drank a whole bottle of Henny, and then he was hungry. And then he had four hot dogs threw up all over the street.
That's my dog, right? He the only person that ever got me to drink Hennessy at an award show.
Wow.
And I mean at an award show that's on TV, like we was at the Grammys or something. He was sitting like two seats down, and he had a Hennessy bottle. He was just, big dog, you want some? And I said, I couldn't even say no. I was like, yeah, get here, cuz. I'm like, whoa. And we sitting up in there getting drunk in the Grammys in front of all these white folks with real Hennessy, no cup, straight out the bottle.
Mm-mm.
Shout out to DMX for keeping it hood.
Snoop, you ain't never cared about your image in front of white folks. I saw you on Jimmy Kimmel. You said gangster rap is back.
I don't think it ever left because you got to look at everybody that's winning right now. All they doing is rapping gangster. You know, it's always going to be some different styles of rap. That's what I say, that we don't understand. But they didn't understand me when I came out. You know, when I was a young man, 18, 19 years old, they had a different perspective on me where politicians was running over my CDs and they was doing things.
See Dolores Tucker.
Oh, come on, man. They was coming at me and Tupac like we was the craziest men in the world and Ice-T. So now to see me and Ice-T in a position now where white America politicians respect us and love us and, you know, appreciate us, it's a crazy game. But you got to understand that hip-hop will revolve and it never will change. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to grow. It came from New York. It's going to come back home. The South really got a chokehold on the game right now.
Mm-hmm. We just were talking about that, too. The South going on a damn near, might be the longest run ever out of 90s West Coast and 90s.
They got a chokehold on the game because you got to remember, they were the ones who were disrespected the most.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones who was always, you know, kicked to the curve and overlooked. Ultra disrespect. You know, their music, their country bunkers, they this, they that. Really, the West was the only ones who really appreciated them because we all came from there. Actually, everybody came from the South. Mm-hmm. But we felt more connected to them because more of our South roots were still in the South, so we could identify with the Southern rappers. And now I'm looking at them rocking and controlling the game for so long, it don't look like they're going to give it up because now they got everybody rapping like them.
Yep.
And when you do that, when you get your style and your DNA, when everybody start rapping like the South, nobody ever thought that would happen.
Right. That's what's happening right now. Designer, OT Genesis, like all them songs sound like it could be South records.
All of them.
Yeah.
Is this Death Row biopic happening after Straight Outta Compton? I know they've been talking about it, and are you on board with doing that?
I don't know about the Death Row biopic, but I seen Tupac, All Eyes on Me, and that bomb.
It's good?
Did they have somebody in the movie that actually looks like you? Because the guy in Straight Outta Compton did not look like you at all.
Did he act like me?
Not really. But you 101, though.
I'm watching the movie like you.
Yeah.
I'm eating popcorn on my part, too. Nah, but the Tupac movie looked good.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well put together. It's emotional. It felt good watching the screening. Right. It felt very good.
The Death Row one, would you be on deck with that? Would you think that would be a...
The only way I would do a Death Row movie is if me and Suge Knight told the story through our eyes.
Mm. No Dre?
Wouldn't need Dre eyes. Dre did it Straight Outta Compton.
Mm.
It's just because I feel like Snoop and Suge was the tension and the excitement of Death Row. You know what I'm saying? If you told it through our eyes, then you would get what people want to see when it comes to Death Row. Dre's eyes on Death Row wasn't really what you really want to see. That's why he left. We was the ones who was making it move and keeping it popping. Dre was basically trying to find a way out, and then he found a way out and he left. We was dealing with the politics of gangbanging, the politics of infrastructure being wrong. Some of my homies didn't like his homies. Some of my homies shot at his homies. He shot at some of my homies. It was like, it was a lot of... And then we had to become cool, and then we became uncool. Then he paid some of my homies to be down with him, and it was just...
Wow.
That, to me, is the better story.
Mm.
Because now we cool now. So we could sit in a room, and we could tell the truth on what it was and how we got to where we are now.
You executive producing Bow Wow's last album?
Yeah.
Put it out there?
Yeah. That's my little homeboy. I'm going to try to get him all the way right, because I feel like he still got something to say.
What are you going
to
talk about at this point, though?
We got to figure that part out.
Yeah, it can't be no gangster stuff.
Nah, you're not going to believe that. That's what you're not going. That's why I think I need to be there to help shape and mold it and make sure it's very believable, because it's unbelievable if it's gangster.
We appreciate you joining us, Snoop. I love when Snoop comes up here.
I know. We could talk to Snoop all day.
I'll be watching y'all too. Y'all know that, right? I be tuned in. Like, I don't get to listen to y'all because I'm in California.
Thanks for putting us on the album, by the way.
Y'all like that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
excited.
I didn't pay y'all either. Y'all like that, huh?
Sure did.
Look what the label said. The label was like, we're going to have to get this clear. I said, man, we ain't going to have to pay them nothing. When they hear this, that's what they're going to get paid off hearing this.
We were hype. I'm not going to lie.
They sent the email. We was like, he got to ask? Like, hell yeah, put
but
it on.
But the labels
there.
be so concerned with, you know, making sure that, I'm like, man, this is my family right here, man. I wouldn't have put them on there if they wasn't family, man. This is what we do.
What are we going to do, sue Snoop?
Nope.
We be the biggest
it has,
in
it
the
has
world.
Happened, though.
Nah.
Charlamagne.
It has happened.
Nah.
Charlamagne, I done a conversation with somebody where a dude called me telling me how much he loved me and whoop-de-whoop-whoop-whoop, and I put it on the album. 3 weeks later, he sued me.
No, man.
25 racks.
Now, let's rethink this Breakfast Club, now. Let's rethink this.
25 racks. Now, hold on. He didn't say all that.
I'll get y'all some free tickets when I perform out here.
But I saw you getting sued for Ain't No Fun.
For real?
Yeah, I just saw that on TMZ.
What happened?
Some artists are saying that they had that song, and they was going to put it out, the hook, and then you guys took it. And
Ain't No Fun is...
Nate Dogg is
30 years old.
And Nate Dogg is rest in peace, so now they're going to disrespect my homeboy. Now, I might have to go gangster on this one right here. Don't do this. I'm not even going to pay no attention to the edge. I think you're trying to get me riled up. You want me to leave out here with an attitude.
I did see that somewhere.
Yeah,
though.
I did see it. Just
for real?
Recently.
Somebody lying. Because actually, Warren G and Daz came up with that song when we was living in Culver City, and it was a whole nother beat because we had W Balls was our radio station that we was working
W
before we
Balls.
Had a deal.
Balls.
Yeah, we had a radio station where we would give out the number and people would call in and we would, you know, do our thing from our house.
Oh, that was real?
For real.
Oh, I thought that was
No, I mean, I heard that on the album.
For real, Dr. Dre took that idea and made it what it sounded like on the album.
Isn't it crazy how all the stuff that y'all did back then, whether it was Bye Felicia and Friday or These Nuts, that came all the way back around.
It never really went. Never.
And these people think they made it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This dude, Wealth and the Great, gonna try to get me with These Nuts with his raggedy mouth. And I reversed the charges on him and hit him with the game. And he was like, I'm like, yeah, homie, you're not going to get me. I created this.
When he was a little, he should know.
I'm like, he was a puppy, though. He was a little puppy when that was going on. You know what I'm saying? So he didn't know no better.
Right. Goodness gracious. Well, Snoop, we appreciate you joining us.
Man, thank y'all for having me, man. This is one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100. Y'all keep it real. Y'all solid with me. I've done interviews with y'all individually and together, and I love what y'all stand for. Continued success. I'm glad to see y'all on a real TV network, too.
Thank you, my brother.
It's the Breakfast Club of Snoop Dogg.
Hello.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Well,
Amber Rose is blasting back at people that were saying that her son Sebastian is gay.
What?
Yes. Now, all that happened was he was wearing one of her wigs. He's 3 years old, and people just started going in. Here's what she had to say.
So I posted a picture of Sebastian playing with my wig earlier, and all the comments were saying that my son is gay. He's 3. So how about all you ignorant f***s read a book and realize that your sexual orientation has nothing to do with the way you dress? I don't understand how people are so motherfucking dumb. Educate yourself before you write a goddamn comments.
Her son was wearing a wig?
Yeah, he was just playing with one of her wigs. It's not, you know.
I doubt the little boy knew what the wig represented.
Yeah, at 3 years old, he's not thinking, I'm putting this wig on because I want to be a woman.
Yeah, I don't think
But if you had a son, well, you have a son. You have two sons, Envy.
Right.
And one of them put on a wig.
Right.
Would that be an issue? If Jackson put on a wig, Gia had a wig and he put it on.
I would tell him that that was mommy's wig and he shouldn't be wearing a wig.
That's but he can wear your hats and stuff.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I don't see nothing wrong with that. It's a woman's wig. You don't want to wear a woman's wig. And because once he puts that woman's wig on and starts singing Beyonce, then you got a whole other set of questions.
Then he
want
to put the heels on it.
But as a little kid at 3, it's not like you're thinking, I'm putting this wig on because I, you know.
But it's nothing wrong with you as a man correcting your son and saying, yo, that's a woman's wig. Don't wear that. Leave mommy's wig alone.
Now, let me tell you, if I put a wig on when I was a kid, I think my dad would have slapped the wig off me. It would have been a lot worse.
At 3?
What? Charlie, if you put
you
a wig on in your house when you was a kid.
Oh, first of all, when I was 8, I told y'all this story. I'm sitting around with my sister and my female cousins, and they raving about BBD, and I just want to be in the conversation.
Right.
I said Michael Bivins was cute. Oh. Boy, look here. My daddy whipped my ass, threw me outside with my two cousins, and they roughed me up.
Well, how crazy is that? That now
men don't talk like that.
How crazy is it that you're cool with Michael Bivins now, and at 8 you thought he was cute?
I told Mike that story. Didn't I tell him that story?
I don't think you told him when he was here. He's listening now, so I'm sure he just heard.
Well, happy belated birthday.
But there's nothing wrong with, as a man, you correcting your son on what not to do. Same thing with, I got two daughters. If they're doing something that guys do, I'd be like, stop doing that. That's like not what ladies do.
What can a girl do that guys do?
Sitting there with her legs open. Cross your legs.
That's true.
Like sitting like a man with your legs wide open.
There's you know, shout to a young MA. A young MA is a New York artist. She got a big record.
Where did that just come from?
I'm going to tell you why. Because she told me, I talked to her the other day, she told me she actually played football when she was like 8, 9 years old, fully padded up. I was like, your dad let you do that?
She's a lesbian, right?
Yes.
Drop on the clues bombs for stereotypes being true. Okay.
But she was like, her parents let her do it. I wouldn't let my daughter play football.
I was a real tomboy when I was younger.
But football, fully padded?
I wasn't fully padded, but my dad definitely made me learn how to throw a football. Definitely had me.
If you're a woman that ever want to play football, you're probably a lesbian. That's a Charlamagne the God generalization, just throwing that out there. Only woman I ever seen play football who wasn't a lesbian was Rudy on The Cosby Show when she decided to play one time.
But that was fake.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't like any of the women from the lingerie league?
Yes, I did. They didn't tackle. Did they tackle each other?
Yeah, they tackled each other.
Hell yeah,
they
didn't one of them tackle me one time?
Yes, they, yes, she did.
Yes, she did.
And then you tackled her.
No, not that one.
Well, there goes your stereotype right there. Not out the window. All right, Jennifer Lopez is producing an HBO movie based around Griselda Blanco, the late Colombian drug lord, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The film is in development. She's going to produce it and star in it. And it's about the rise and fall of Blanco, a notorious drug lord known as the cocaine godmother that helped expand the U.S. drug trade during the 1970s and 80s. She was the most powerful female cartel member ever. So she said she's been very fascinated by this the life of this corrupt and complicated woman for many years. So she's teaming up with HBO, and she felt that was the perfect fit.
I never heard of this drug lord.
You never heard of Griselda Blanco?
No, I never heard of a female drug lord, period. I'm interested in watching.
They told this story actually in Cocaine Cowboys 2.
Mm.
But she was infamous. She was arrested back in 85. And
so stereotypical.
She was sentenced to almost 2 decades in a U.S. prison, and then she was deported and then went on to live a quiet life in Colombia's second largest city.
Oh, drop one of Clues bombs for, you know,
Yeah, because that's
being
a
equal opportunity in the Spanish.
Infamous.
Spanish community.
There you go.
You got male kingpins, you got women kingpins.
All right, and that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Missy. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that down to?
To the 20-year-old Virginia man who climbed Trump Towers in Manhattan yesterday.
Oh, good. The guy from Footprints wanted you to give him Donkey of the Day.
Yes, I'm doing this for you. Please come to the front of the congregation. Bring your suction cups and climbing equipment with you, please.
Okay. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, August 11th, goes to the 20-year-old Virginia man who climbed Trump Towers in Manhattan yesterday. Now, his motive, according to police, he wanted to climb to the top of the tower and eventually get a personal meeting with Donald Trump. As if Donald Trump was just sitting on top of the tower yesterday, minding his damn business, right? Okay, listen, kids, if you want to have a meeting with somebody and you have to buy suction cups and scraps and other climbing equipment to meet him, then you might want to rethink that meeting. Now, how do people know his motive? Because like most kids nowadays, he had to tell the world exactly what he was doing and why he was doing it via the internet. Roll the tape.
Hello, Mr. Trump. I am an independent researcher seeking a private audience with you to discuss an important matter. I guarantee that it is in your interest to honor this request. Believe me, if my purpose was not significant, I would not risk my life pursuing it. The reason I climbed your tower was to get your attention. If I had sought this via conventional means, I would be much less likely to have success because you are a busy man with many responsibilities. I'll get my contact information to your campaign so that if you are interested, you can respond. Be sure to get out and vote for Mr. Trump in the 2016 election.
Okay, first of all, I don't know how someone can say I don't want to be recognized, but you got your whole face on camera. Okay, it wasn't blurred out. He didn't have a mask on. He just had on a black hoodie talking about he don't want to be recognized. Reminds me of the Ninja Turtles when they throw on trench coats and hats like, bruh, who you fooling? Okay, second, I understand he said he didn't want to use conventional methods to reach Donald Trump, but what 20-year-old kid in 2016 climbs a building because they got something to say to Donald Trump? You wanted to get a message to Donald Trump? Did you try social media first? Did you tweet him? What about Facebook?
Go to a rally.
If all else fails, then you think about climbing a building. It's all kind of ways in this era to send messages to Donald Trump, and climbing a building doesn't have to be one of them. In fact, I'm watching this yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, how much did Donald Trump pay this guy to climb this building? Okay, this whole situation has publicity stunt written all over it. Donald Trump even tweeted out, great job today by the NYPD in protecting the people and saving the climber. Saving the climber? It wasn't trying to save him. That climber wasn't in danger. That climber was committing a crime, and the police were there to arrest him. But who cares about the truth and the lies? More entertaining. And then, you know, and as long as they're endorsing you, right, Donald Trump? Okay? How about discourage your followers, supporters from this kind of behavior? Tell them to avoid criminal trespassing and disorderly conduct charges like this nut job, okay, who is currently in Bellevue Hospital for a psychological evaluation. This man isn't crazy. He's just a poor decision maker. Because in this communication age where it's 2 degrees of separation between people and you can get anyone a message simply by adding them on social media sites, acting like you got bit by a radioactive spider that triggered mutations in your body and gave you the ability to cling to most surfaces is not the wave, okay? Give this dude who climbed Trump Towers yesterday the biggest hee-haw, please. I'm just saying. Try tweeting him first. Facebook, okay?
So he never did meet him, huh?
No, it's not like Trump was at the top of the building. I understand it's Trump Towers.
He was in Virginia,
yeah,
I think.
Trump don't live in Trump Towers, people, just because his name is on the building. All right? He wasn't at the top of Trump Towers just waiting on you.
It wasn't even in New York?
Yes, it was. It was in Manhattan.
Oh, you just
no, said Trump was in Virginia.
Oh, Trump was in Virginia. Oh, okay.
Hold on. Isn't this kid from Virginia? That's not true. There's no way. I don't believe that. Trump wasn't in Virginia. Trump was not in Virginia. I don't believe that. I refuse to believe that.
Man.
There's no way Trump was in Virginia, and this kid was from Virginia, but this kid goes all the way to Manhattan to climb on this building. I don't believe that.
I have to
fact check that one. I don't believe that.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. When we come back, ask Yee. 800-
yes, he was on his presidential campaign tour in Virginia.
Donald Trump was in Virginia?
Oh, my goodness.
And this kid, hold on, is this kid from Virginia?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? Keep him in Bellevue. Something's wrong with him. Something's wrong with him.
Goodness gracious.
You mean to tell me this guy is from Virginia?
From Virginia.
Donald Trump is in Virginia, but yep. you decided to come to Manhattan to scale Trump Towers when you could have just drove somewhere in Virginia to possibly meet this guy?
Yes.
They might not have a Trump Towers in Virginia.
All right. All right.
He didn't do his Googles.
This donkey today is very accurate.
All right. Well, yes. When we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call her right now. She'll help you out with all your problems. 800-585-1051. Call her right now. She'll put you live on the air. It's OT Genesis. It's Cut It. It's the Breakfast Club. Get your ass up. Good morning. That was P. Diddy, I Need a Girl. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call her now. Yee, what line are we going to? Line one? Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Bellino. Bellino from Malden.
Oh, okay. What's your question for Yee?
Yeah, I wanted to basically tell Yee, you know, I have a girlfriend. Her name is Esther. And, you know, she's going through some rough stuff, you know, and I wanted to know how do I help her, you know, go through, you know, her broken heart that she, you know, she had from the past relationship in the past.
Well, okay, first of all, everybody has had difficult relationships in the past. But how long ago did she get out of her situation?
Well, she was in a 5-year relationship, and then you know, and it was like a long, like a 5-year relationship that was not really like a good thing for her. And you know, I met her, and then we've been together for about a year, and you know, it's like an off and on battle, you know, with like past relationship and stuff like that.
So she's taking out all her past issues with on you.
Yeah.
All right. So what's happened to her before? I'm just curious.
Well, you know, she had a, you know, she got pregnant at a young age, and then ever since then, you know, she's been torn because she felt like the guy that she was with for 5 years, she wanted to be with this person, but you know, it didn't work out. You know, I know we've been in a new relationship; it's been about a year, and I hope it does work out for us. And it's just that, you know, like old stuff, she keeps bringing up old stuff all the time, you know, and always crying and stuff like that. And I wanted to know, how can you help me talk to her a little bit better? Just, you know, you're a woman and you're very powerful on the radio. And I listen to you every morning. I'm listening to you right now.
Okay. Is she, does she still want to be with her ex?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's not a situation where she's not over him. It's more of a situation where she's taking out all the wrong things that he did to her on you.
Yeah.
Now, does she have issues with anything that you've done to her, for real? Like, have you done some things that have been sketchy, or has she caught you doing anything?
No, it's just, you know, I keep it too real, so that's the problem.
And what do you mean, I keep it too real? What does that mean?
Meaning, like, you know, I don't go around the bush with my feelings. I just tell her how I feel if something really bothers me. And then it may be, like, just about anything, you know. And then she just gets mad and then starts saying, oh, this is how her last man from 5 years used to treat her. And I'm like, what?
What does keeping it too real mean? Like, what kind of things are you saying? Give me an example, like, and be honest.
I told her, basically, tell her, like, you know, I'm in your life for a real reason. I'm not here to hurt you. And I've been honest since day one, and I think me being, like, telling her how I feel, like, 100% sometimes really hurts her because, you know, I just don't know why she always, you know, always crying, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, like, sad to see somebody cry when I feel like I'm doing the best of my ability to keep her happy.
Right. Okay, well, it sounds like she might have some deeper issues. You think she's suffering from depression if it's been this long and she's crying all the time?
Yeah, you know, it's more than just the relationship that she had, you know, family issues and all that extra crazy stuff. You know how it goes.
Sometimes it is really hard to talk to the person that's closest to us, even though we feel like that's who we should go to. Sometimes it's hard to bear all of that. What I would recommend, because you care so much, is perhaps telling her that maybe it would help her to get some therapy.
Okay.
Have you ever talked to her about that?
No.
Is she open to it, you think?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so here's what you do now. You get some recommendations. I'm going to look some people up for you, but if you can get some recommendations from some of your friends, anybody else you know who's gone through therapy, you should tell her that you want whatever is best for her. You know, whether or not that person is going to be you, you want her to be the best person that she can be. And to do that, you think that she needs some therapy, that you feel like you're there for her, you want to do anything, and you'll be there with her. And if you want her to go, if she wants you to go with her, you will.
Okay.
All right. And keep us updated and let us know how it goes. And I'm going to get some information for you. All right. Hold on the line.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Hold on. All right. Ask Yee 800-585-1051. If you have a question for Yee, you need some advice, you need some help in your life, call her right now or email her breakfastclubam@gmail.com. We got more Ask Yee on the way. That was Jeremiah Plains. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee, if you want to holler at Yee. Michelle, what's your question for Yee?
Okay, well, my daughter was 6 weeks old. Her father got deported to Mexico, and he hasn't acknowledged her. She just turned 10. He hasn't sent no money, haven't called, hasn't asked for her. It's like she doesn't exist to him. A couple of months ago, I guess he's up to come back into the United States. So his wife Facebooked me, asking me to help him get papers. So I dubbed that. And now he's Facebooking my daughter, pretending like he cares, like saying he misses her. I don't know if I should block him because I don't want him to hurt my daughter. I think he has ulterior motives to try to get me to help get him back into the States. Or I don't know what it is, but I don't want to see my daughter hurt. And my husband has raised her since she was one, and I don't want to see him hurt.
Well, it's hard for – I know that's a hard position to be in because on one hand – you want to protect your daughter from this man who's done nothing for her. But on the other hand, you don't want to stop her from speaking with her father, her biological father. So what I would do is I would tell him that if he wants to communicate with her, he has to go through you.
And I would say he won't.
Well, then he won't be able to communicate with her because, honestly, your daughter doesn't know this man. You don't even really know him, and she's too young to know what's going on. So I would tell him, and I would also make sure that I go and get a lawyer and go to court and make sure they're aware of the situation just in case he tries to do anything sketchy. You know, and if he really cares and wants to contact his daughter and speak with her, he will do it by your rules. And if your guidelines and rules are, if you want to speak with her and communicate, I have to know and monitor what's going on, then that's what it's got to be. If he cares that much, then that shouldn't be an issue. That is a child. He don't even know her.
Exactly. I think he's just trying to use her to get to me to help get him papers back into the United States.
And if that is your instinct, I would go with that instinct, but I would also leave it open. I want you to know your daughter. I want you to have a relationship with her, but because she doesn't know you and she's so young, I need to monitor this relationship.
Exactly.
So I'm not cutting you out of her life. I'm giving you an option. If you want to know her, I'm very open to that, but I'm not letting you do it without me being involved.
And what do you think about my husband?
Okay, you said he's raised her, so what is he saying?
He's really hurt by it, and he's, like, sad. He thinks that he's just going to come out of nowhere and try to take over or something.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, that really is her biological father, so of course he has some type of rights. He doesn't seem like the type of person who's going to be consistent. Clearly he has his ulterior motives, as you think, you know, so I think it's just something you guys are going to have to deal with. Your daughter has to know that, you know, who her real father is. But, like I said, monitor the situation. Let her still call, you know, the man who raised her. She's still going to look at him like that's her dad. He's still got to do what he's got to do. She's an innocent child.
Yeah.
So everything has to be whatever is best for her. Whether or not that hurts his feelings, it's what's best for your daughter.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Thank you so much.
But definitely get that lawyer, okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I will.
Okay.
He'll back child support.
Good luck, mama.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, now. Ask Yee 800-585-1051. You can email her, breakfastclubam@gmail.com.
And congratulations on the baby again, Envy.
That's right. Baby 5 was born this morning at 2:46 a.m. Brooklyn Jagger Casey. She was 6 pounds, 15 ounces. 18 and a half inches long.
I always tell myself, once Envy and Gia stop having babies, I'm going to have one.
Well, I stopped, so now you're on.
So we got to wait 1 year just to make sure.
I pass the baton to you. You're good.
Why don't you just borrow one from Envy?
You got a couple?
It's easier.
All right, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to talk about Young Buck. We'll tell you what his G-Unit family members are saying about him getting locked up. Again, he's in jail for 7 months. Also, Rihanna, she's got another acting role. We'll tell you what movie she's about to star in.
All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report. With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, since we are talking about Drake's concert, let's get into who performed on the stage. Dipset. Well, really, Cameron and Juelz Santana performed, but Jim Jones was there. He did not join them on stage. And when questioned about this, here's what Cameron had to say.
Juelz called me. He told me that Drake called him and wanted us to come out.
Right.
And it was that simple. It's no, like, I didn't even speak to Drake but on the stage. I didn't even know Joe was there till later today, till I seen a lot of people in the comments like he was there, man. But I don't, that wasn't my show. I was invited. I was on stage 10 minutes. So that's a question you have to ask Drake probably.
All right. So it's not what you thought it was. It
I don't see the problem. But if I knew my man was actually there, I probably would have said, Jim, come out with us.
Yeah, he said he didn't know, though.
He said he didn't know.
Yeah, if I didn't know he was there, that's not my problem. If the man asked Juelz and Cam to come out, then Juelz and Cam come out. I've seen Jim and Juelz do shows by themselves before. They did Wiz show.
They did the Wiz and Snoop show, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's what Cameron had to say on This Is 50 about it. Now, in addition to that, Cameron and 50 Cent, they took some pictures together. You know, they've been beefing for the longest.
I think they crossed that a long time ago.
I never seen them take a picture together recently. But 50 posted a picture with Cameron. He said, I said, Cam, I would talk to you like you ain't got money if I didn't see them big-ass nuts in your pocket. And Cameron posted a picture, too. He put money, power, respect. They're all going to laugh at you. So,
what y'all want people to do? Beef forever, man?
No, definitely not. I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was, this was like the official, we took a picture together.
What a picture. Let me see the picture.
Yeah, they took it.
Let me see it.
It's on both of their pages. They both put up a picture.
It don't look better than me and Drake's picture, but carry on.
Well, no, they were laughing almost as hard as you guys, but you had the extra wide open mouth laugh.
It was a good joke.
Throw your head back.
It was a good laugh being had. At people.
Now, Young Buck is in jail again. He's been sentenced to 7 months behind bars.
Again?
Yeah, now, if you guys remember, he violated his probation, and that is because he had several altercations with his ex. He actually showed up to her apartment and allegedly kicked in the door of her apartment to get his belongings.
Y'all gotta stop going to jail for these hoes.
He also threatened to burn down her apartment via text message, and then he was ordered to have no contact with her, but then he called her more than 100 times.
Lord have mercy.
August 1st.
How fire is her vagina?
So now he has to go to jail for 7 months.
See? And she gonna be out here having sex with the next man while he in jail for 7 months.
I know. I think that's terrible. What was he thinking? Lloyd Banks actually posted, set back for a major comeback. Hold your head, brother, and push that pen. Gotcha, G. And 50 Cent. Tony Yayo posted, free Young Buck. Hold your head, big bro. Hey. The system is a trap, and we the targets. We all make mistakes, bro, but we got families to feed. Your freedom is everything. We need you out here. 50 posted, damn, the boy Buck got to do some time. They're going to keep him today. He will be all right. Hashtag effing vodka, hashtag frigo.
And that girl ain't gonna write him while he in there. That girl ain't gonna accept none of his calls. And she gonna be out here with her legs spread open for another man.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, it's his ex. So Young Buck posted, things ain't go as planned today. Lost my freedom again. Lord knows how much I'm gonna miss my mother, children, my girl, my real friends, and family. He said, I went 50, Yayo, Kid, Lloyd Banks, and all my fans to hold me down.
Now, was that his ex after he did all of that 100 calling and all that?
I think he probably has a new girlfriend, and that was his ex, and he was going to get his clothes. I don't know if it's two different females.
Hey.
We don't know what's going on in his personal life, but... All right, Rihanna is going to be joining Ocean's 8, hopefully. It's an all-female reboot of Ocean's 11. So
Same writers?
Yeah, it's like the film is going to be led by Sandra Bullock. So okay. It's going to follow a similar path to the Ocean's 11 movie. So we'll see what happens with that. But Sandra Bullock's in it, Kate Blanchett, Helen, Minda Kaling's in it, a bunch of people are in it. So Rihanna is in talks, and Anne Hathaway is in talks, too.
Is that the new thing? Is that the new thing, to remake movies
like
that had all male cast?
All female cast, yeah. Cast.
I guess so.
They should have been doing that, man. Set It Off should have kicked in the door for that.
What was that a remake of?
Nothing, but I'm just saying. I'm talking about as far as having, like, all
female
women
cast
in, like, action-type roles.
Yeah, we enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that is your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. 800-585-1051. Let me know what you want to hear. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.